Welcome to the Marlton Assembly of God Sermon Podcast. Our church is focused on developing fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. We hope you are blessed by this message.
Two weeks ago, we talked about the person and the work of the Holy Spirit from the Old Testament, how God worked in the Old Testament. And then last week, we talked about the gifts of the Spirit, how they're for the common good. The Spirit-filled life is a blessing to other people, and God wants to use each of us in those gifts. Today, I want to talk to you on the topic of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now, I just have to kind of lay it out there like this. A couple things. First, this is not all that we talk about. It's not like every time you come to a church, a Pentecostal or charismatic church, and say, of course you're talking about that. This is not all that we talk about, but it is part of the Christian experience, and God has a gift that he wants to give to all of us. Secondly, the Holy Spirit is not spooky. He's practical. This is not weird. This is very practical. God will speak to you in your life in a very practical way. Number three, this is biblical. Everything I preach to you, I'm going to have scriptures from the Bible that are very practical. Now, you know this. I know this. There's always some weird people. For whatever reason, when it comes to this type of topic, there are always people that kind of lose their brain. But I just want to tell you, people are nuts generally all the time. Do you know that to be true? It has nothing to do with church. You're just bringing crazy people in the church. People are nuts. Matter of fact, my wife and I went to the Harlem Globetrotters. You know the Harlem Globetrotters. Someone gave us free tickets. We went with another couple. This was about 10 years ago. Madison Square Garden. We were sitting up in the nosebleed section. And by the way, the Globetrotters won that game. Anyway, so we went there. And all of a sudden, we saw like a little squirmish down by the court itself. Like all these cops were coming around like this one man. And actually, like as soon as we saw this hubbub, we heard over the loudspeaker, bad boys, what you gonna do? You know, like the cops were coming. We didn't realize it right away, but there was a man, he was a streaker. He took off all of his clothes and he was trying to run on the court. And so what happened was the cops kind of, I guess, took him, arrested him, and I guess threw him in jail or back to the nudist colony where he came from. I don't know. But you know what happened? The cops took him and the game continued and it was a great time. Just because one person tried to disrupt the game or was weird, it didn't ruin for everybody else. I want to tell you that there is a gift called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I know some people are weird, but it's biblical and it's for everybody still today. Amen? So we're going to walk through that, what it's about. But there's five encounters of the Holy Spirit for believers. And let me just kind of walk you through them because this is very important to help us today. First is the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Before you come to Christ, the Holy Spirit is working on you, drawing you to Jesus Christ, convicts you of our sin. Sin is what keeps us from God. Then secondly, at salvation, the Holy Spirit is present, changing us from the inside out. And then third is the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes inside of us and begins to make us how God wants to make us. The fruits of the Spirit, if you will. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. That's found in the book of Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. And that's what we help people here at our church, to be followers of Jesus Christ. And this is all about God's love. God wants us to have a meaningful relationship with him. Now, I have to just tell you something as a way of introduction. We have some amazing young people in our church. Amazing. And our young people compete in what's called fine arts. It's kind of like American Idol, but not really. The young people yesterday all gathered in Bridgewater, New Jersey, all Assembly of God kids. Here are our young people right here. You can kind of see them, Pastor Andy, Brandon Bafano, a bunch of youth leaders helping out, Frank and his wife. We have a bunch of people. And what happens is they give like a song, and they kind of like get graded on the song, or the top of the better ones kind of go to nationals in Kentucky this year in August. And different preaching, you could rap, all these different types. So we had a great turnout of young people. You see me in the left-hand corner, right there, L.L. Bean shirt, right there? That's me, right there. Yep, right there. I don't know if you can see it right there, the guy in the red hat. He photobombed us. You see that guy in the corner? We got to find that kid. We're going to take him out, right there, that kid. But part of it was Manny Gonzalez, who did a short sermon. And I was listening to about God's love. Listen, the best and most important gift is always salvation. So we can't jump to the baptism of the Holy Spirit unless we first remember salvation's the greatest gift that God could ever give us. God's a giver of lots of different gifts. He gives us his word. He gives us the church, friends. He gives all these gifts. The first gift is the gift of salvation, and it flows from God's love. Manny did this presentation yesterday. I'm asking him to do it as a way of introduction today. Would you welcome Manny Gonzalez?
Love, a word thrown around so much, but rarely used in a genuine way. And I wonder sometimes, what is love? Love is said to be this passionate affection for another person, but the world has distorted that idea by rooting love in pleasure and comfort. And once the pleasure and comfort are gone, forget about the love. Marriage vows say, in sickness and in health, in the good times and in the bad times, until death do us part. But the world says, until the feelings go away. So what is love? I want to tell you a story today that not only showcases a husband's love for his wife, but also showcases the unfailing love of God for us. The story is about a man named Hosea. And the Lord commands Hosea to marry a prostitute named Gomer to prove a point to the people of Israel. And he does. He obeys God's command. And he marries Gomer, and they have 3 children together. Unfortunately, Gomer goes back into prostitution, and she leaves her family. Hosea chapter 3, verse 1. And the Lord says to me, go and find her, Hosea. Go and love your wife, even though she's committing adultery. As you can imagine, Hosea is crushed already. His wife has left him for prostitution, left his family. And the Lord is saying, go find her, Hosea. And he's probably wondering, God, why are you telling me to do this? She left our family. What's the point? The Lord goes on to say, just like the love of the Lord for Israel, go and find Hosea. Then Hosea begins to understand what the Lord is trying to say. God was saying that even though the people of Israel turned their back on him, even though they worship other gods, he still loved them. He says, go and find her, Hosea. Go and love your wife. So he goes. And he begins this pursuit to find his wife who went back into prostitution. And I can just imagine. I can just picture him going into this dark scene where he sees his wife being auctioned to other men. In verse 2, he goes on to say, so I bought her for 15 shekels of silver, 5 bushels of barley, and a measure of wine. And I'm sitting back and I'm reading this and I'm like, Hosea, what are you doing? She's your wife, Hosea. She's already yours. What are you doing, Hosea? But he buys what he already owns. And then I began to understand this story. I understand why God told Hosea to go into the deepest, darkest place to find his wife and buy what he already possessed. It's a foreshadowing of what John 3:16 says. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. And in our situation, we are Gomer and God is Hosea. And he had to go into the deepest, darkest places to find us and purchase what he already possessed. But our cost wasn't silver, barley, or wine. Our cost was the death of his son, Jesus, on a cross. And he simply said, okay, I'll pay it. Because he loves you that much. Some of you are here today and you don't understand that you're loved. You don't even know what love is, and I know how you feel because when I was little, I thought my father loved me so much. But he ended up leaving my family for a life in the streets, and from that point on, I didn't know what love was anymore. Some of you are here today, and you feel like God has forgotten you, but his word says differently. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, the Lord your God is with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And like Psalm 117:2 says, he says he loves you with unfailing love, meaning that no matter what you have done, no matter what you will do, he will always love you the same, and nothing can ever separate you from that everlasting, unconditional, unfailing love. I want to tell you today that even though my father left my family like Gomer left Hosea's, my dad, God found my dad like Hosea found Gomer. And today he's serving the Lord faithfully. Romans 8:38 says, for I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, nor our fears of today, nor our worries of tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. And I'm here to challenge you that as you begin to understand how much God loves you, He loves you so much that He gave His only Son for you. As you begin to understand that, share that love with other people. Share it with your neighbor. Share it with the people in your schools. Share it with the people in your work. Share it with your family members who need that love. Be the Hosea to the Gomers in your life. And always remember that you were Gomer before God came and saved you.
All right. Good job, Manny. Wasn't that wonderful? Manny's called by God to be a pastor, so he's going to the University of Valley Forge and getting himself ready, and we just acknowledge that call and want to see that keep growing. We have young people in our church called to be missionaries, pastors, church workers. Often they want to marry the same people with the same goals, and we're just really excited about what God's doing. One more time, let's put our hands together for Manny. Congratulations. So he was talking about salvation and God's love. Look at those five encounters again of the Holy Spirit. This is not something we need to be fearful about. But number five, oftentimes people think this is just the Holy Spirit, but this is what we're going to focus in on today. The empowerment of the Holy Spirit as a witness to reach others for Jesus Christ. Acts 1:8 says, and you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And so let's look at what Jesus talked about as far as this promised Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John, this is John the Baptist, might possibly be the Messiah. John answered them all, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. The Bible says that Jesus will baptize us with the Holy Spirit. The next scripture in Luke chapter 11. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Jesus said, listen, I have a gift for every one of you. It's my promise. It is the working of the Holy Spirit subsequent to salvation. For every believer, it's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's a second working of God's grace. I want to tell you, it's for today. It will bless you and help you. Now, Jesus had to rise from the grave fully for us to have salvation. John chapter 20 says this. This is the first experience of the Holy Spirit after Jesus rose from the grave. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and sighed. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. When Jesus came out of the grave, he breathed. And by the way, aren't you glad that God has good breath? Think about it. Have you ever been around somebody and start breathing in your face? You're like, dude, you need to go to the dentist. Dude, you need a mint. Dude. But this was supernatural. God breathed on them. The Holy Spirit came into them. It was the first moving of them being now believers or Christians. So you first are a believer. You believe on Christ. But what we're talking about is then another working of the Holy Spirit that's a gift of the Holy Spirit for all believers. It is called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So on the back side of your connection card, there's been places for people to ask questions, and a lot of great questions, and a lot of people have questions about the supernatural and miraculous. One of the questions is simply this, and I'm going to try to answer the question today. It says this, how does someone go about getting baptized in the Holy Spirit? You say, Pastor John, if that's a gift, and it's a gift for today, how do I receive this baptism of the Holy Spirit? I want to give you just some helps to help you understand how you can receive this promised baptism of the Holy Spirit. Number one, remove all barriers. Remove any barrier in your life that would keep you from being close to God. The first one, obviously, is what we just talked about from Manny. It's sin. If there's any sin in your life, you say, Lord, I want to have a right relationship with you. I want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I understand it's a gift. I can't earn it. But if there's anything that is a barrier, Lord, I just want to confess it. I want to get it out. I want to ask you to forgive me of it. And the Bible says, it's really simple. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. How many are glad that Jesus forgives us of our sins? Amen. Number two is pride. For whatever reason, some people have a lot of pride about this baptism of the Holy Spirit. They say, John, I wasn't born that way. I didn't grow up in a church. I was Catholic or Methodist. I don't know. Can I just be a Christian? Can I just, like, believe on Jesus? Why all this, like, this fanatical stuff? I just want to be a believer and die and go to heaven. I just want, that's good enough for me. But you know what the Bible says about pride? This is what the Bible says. It says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 16, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Whenever you want God to move in your life, you know what you need to do is humble yourself. Prideful people don't work well with God. But if we humble ourselves, say, God, this is a gift from you. I want to receive it. Would you take away my pride? Would you just kind of take away all these pre-notioned thoughts? And I want to receive what I have for you, from you. And then finally, doctrinal hang-ups. Some people just have a question about the doctrine of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And oftentimes this is what I hear. John, okay, so when you ask Jesus to come into your life, you have the Holy Spirit. The answer is yes. There's no second-rate Christians like, hey, listen, if you have the baptism, then you're better. No, we're all believers. God has no favorites, but he does have another gift of the Holy Spirit for believers. And by the way, I'm not making this up. This is in the Bible. But people oftentimes take the doctrine, and listen, I'm just trying to present to you what the Bible has to say. And so, listen, in the book of Acts, chapter 17, there's this group of people called the Bereans. And the Bible calls them more noble than other Christians. Why? Because they were listening to the Paul speak, and they went home and read the Bible to see if what the preacher said was true. Listen, I know my theology, but if I started, like, just saying some different stuff, some of you wouldn't know. You could say, you know what? We love Pastor John. He has a nice shirt from L.L. Bean and all that stuff. But you could take what I say and go home and read to make sure it's true. I'm just saying, sometimes people, I see it on Facebook and stuff, they'll take pictures of the screen and then they'll go home and read it. All I can tell you is this, Pastor John better preach from the Bible and you better hear from the Bible. Is that right? And if I ever get off, you can come to me. I mean, don't be mean to me if I don't mean to say anything wrong. But you could come to me and say, hey, Pastor, what do you mean by that? I get questions all the time. I try to answer the questions the best I can. But the goal is from the Scripture. And so this baptism of the Holy Spirit, there's actually three baptisms. The first baptism is baptized into Christ, right? We're new into Christ. The second baptism is water baptism. How many people have been water baptized in water, right? You go down into a new environment, right? And you come up out of the water. There's a third baptism called spirit baptism, and you too will come into a new environment of God's presence, his spirit. And for, listen, for some of you, this can be a little bit scary. But if you experience, it's the greatest supernatural move of God that you'll ever experience on the planet. I'm so grateful for Jesus for washing me of my sins, but I also want to tell you how grateful I am for God giving me the baptism of the Holy Spirit in my life. It's wonderful. And there is this kind of this idea that we're kind of plunged in. Let me just show you by example real quick. Maybe this will help you. How many of you have one of these in your, like, in your house, maybe your family room, or how many know what this is? What do you call this? Afghan, right? Or what's the other one? Blanket or comforter? We don't use that word too much. Usually a comforter's on your bed, right? Well, this is what we have right here. Look at this. In our family room, we have, look how big this is. We actually have two of these, right? It used to be called Snuggies. You remember the Snuggies? Bad idea. Anyway, we got this from Home Goods. How many are grateful for Home Goods? Man, if you see any nicks on that stuff, just go to the manager, 20% off. And by the way, the shipments come in on Monday morning. So if you go there Monday, now you get the best cook of the lot. Some of you wives are like, right now, you're like this, honey. What did the pastor preach about? I don't know, but 20% off home goods, baby, home goods. So we have two of these in our home. My girls will tell you, we have three daughters, and my wife and I, and we actually have, let's just call it comforter. Do you know another name for the Holy Spirit is comforter? Can I show you how it is? Let me just be real. Let's keep it real like a banana peel. All right, here we go. So if you come to our house, like today, like a rainy day in May, some of you are like, can I have that comforter right now in my chair? Like if you come, like this would be like one of my daughters probably later today, like this. Not like this, not like that. You know what I'm talking about, right? It's covering every square inch, and it's doubled and tripled over. Sometimes my children, and sometimes my wife, sometimes will actually fall asleep. I've come downstairs sometimes, and because they'll have it over their head, I don't even know they're there. I'm serious. Like this. So here's the question. Does the comforter have my kid, or does my kid have my comforter? And here's the answer, yes. Let me riddle you again. If you have a bucket of water and you take a sponge and you put the sponge and you soak it, you immerse it in the water, is there water in the sponge or sponge in the water? The answer is yes. When you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, there is a sense that you are covered or with the presence of Almighty God. God in you and through you, around you. You're with God. It's not just like this idea of like, oh, I have it. Like I get the Holy Spirit. No, the Holy Spirit kind of gets us. And we used to kind of sing like a song, the Comforter has come. And you kind of, there's when the Holy Spirit like comes upon you, there's just this wonderful sense of God's presence around you and in you. And I understand for some, it may feel scary on some fronts, and it is. But it also is a sweet release of Jesus' presence in your life. So I would just say this, remove all barriers and ask God to fill you with his Holy Spirit. And then if you need some warming up, go to Home Goods, get a blanket, and see what God will do in your life. Number two, request to be filled. Ask the Lord to fill you. This is what Jesus says, Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 8. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks does receive, and to the one who seeks, finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be open. The Bible says he will fill you. If you ask, he will fill you. He wants to fill you. I mean, moms and dads, you've kind of gotten older. Do you remember when your parents used to tell you it is more blessed to give than to receive? I thought that was a lie. That doesn't make sense for a kid. But as you get older and you know your children and you give them a gift, let's say for Christmas, you like to see their eyes light up. But you know, you get as much satisfaction from your kids opening the gift. Could you imagine if you buy a kid or something and they decide not to open it? You know what I would do? I just pluck it right back. I'm returning it. I got the receipt, the gift receipt. I'm keeping it. But it gives God great joy when he gives you his gift. If you'll take it and ask for it, Lord, I want to receive this great gift that you have for me. God will help you. And, you know, let me just tell you, I have a fence in my yard, and it's kind of falling down. The dogs get loose all the time. So I'm constantly kind of trying to nail it. We just need to get a new fence. The bottom line is I've asked several people in the congregation, do you know of anybody, some fence guys? I've had five or six estimates. I didn't realize how much fence costs. It's very, you know, life is better on the other side of the fence. I'm just joking. Okay. So I'm calling. Everything's like $3,000. It's expensive. And so I'm calling different. And I come to find out the lady who works for Alenco Fence on Route 70, the owner comes to our church. I'm like, yes. I'm favor. Pastor discount. No, I just didn't know. I had all these estimates coming in. And so I actually called Maureen is the owner. I just met her. I just met her this right now, 9 o'clock. I didn't know. So someone said, dude, do you know Maureen actually goes to church 9 o'clock? I said, I need to meet her. So I called, and she wasn't there, so I'm talking to some other gentleman. And so we went through the whole thing. They had some guy come out, and I said, listen, I don't mean to be rude, but, like, I don't know. Like, is there a discount for people in the church? Like, there better be a discount for people in the church? Because we know your name. We get your social security number and make your life really miserable. No, I'm just joking. No, and I just asked. I said, listen, I don't know. Is there a discount? Or can you just give me the best deal? I wasn't trying to be rude. I didn't know. I didn't know Maureen or anybody. But you know what the guy said? He goes, I get you. He goes, it doesn't hurt to ask. I said, you know what? As I was just thinking about the sermon, it doesn't hurt to ask. If you'll just ask the Lord, he wants to fill you. But if you don't ask, he probably won't fill you. Like, listen, if I come to preach, right, and I just say, okay, Holy Spirit, take over. It's going to be weird in here. But if I say, okay, Lord, through me, I ask you to help me. Now we're just a partnership with God. I'm just telling you, if you'll ask him, he will fill you with the Holy Spirit. Number three, receive the promise. Now he has, you ask him, but then when he gives it to you, you must receive. Reach out by faith and take hold of the promise that God has freely given to you. James chapter 1, verse 6 through 8 says this, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. So you must receive the gift that God gives you. You know, every day there's people from UPS and FedEx that come to this church. We have a school, a field house. Like, so the side door says church office. People will come all the time. And our secretaries, they'll sign off. Once in a while, I'll be walking by, and the door's locked for security. And there's a kind of like this sense where I'll open up, and they said, we need someone to sign for this. I said, I'll sign for it. And I just kind of write my name. I actually write down different people's names, Bill Clinton, Mickey Mouse. They don't know. They have no. I'm just joking. I just put it down. There is this sense that you have to take hold of and receive. I receive what the Lord has given me. You say, well, how did people receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the Bible? The first one was in a congregational setting or in a big setting, in a group setting, Acts chapter 2. And this is kind of what happened. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them, here it is, were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. If you know the Bible, the Passover, Pentecost was the top Jewish three feasts, right? It's a gathering, a harvest. So all the Jews were together. Now God's pouring out his Holy Spirit. When they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one of them heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each one of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontia, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, I practice those words, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome. Both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in their own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, what does this mean? What's going on? Some, however, made fun of them and said, they have had too much. It was in a public place. There's 120 people. Sometimes God pours out his Holy Spirit in a public gathering. I mean, around the altars, this has been like the charismatic, the assembly of God. It's usually on a Sunday night, people come around, wait on God, ask for God, and they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, usually in the front of a room, usually, not always. My experience was different. I was a young kid, I think I was 12 years old. I was at the General Council, it was the Assembly of God meeting down in San Antonio with my parents. And I was in a kids' meeting, I think. I was 11, and the kids. And one of the kids, I guess pastor guys, says, if anyone wants to receive the Holy Spirit, go to the back of the room. I said, time out. You can't receive the baptism in the back. You have to come to the front. But they said, why don't you just go in the back? Take all the pressure off. You see, when it's really of the Holy Spirit, it's never forced. When it's of the Holy Spirit, it flows. And so we went to the back of the room. They said, why don't we all just like sit down and just start worshiping the Lord? Crisscross applesauce. You can't say Indian style anymore. You know that? You get in trouble. So we sat down there, and they said, if you just want to receive the baptism, just receive the baptism. And in the back, with all these kids, I just began to worship and praise the Lord, and the Holy Spirit came and visited me in a very special and real way. Listen, in the Bible, sometimes you watch on TV, they said, if you want the Holy Spirit, come, and the preacher, you know, he's knocking down people. People are falling. I told you my experience one time, right? It was high energy type of service, and the guy was coming around. I braced myself. I'm like, I'm not going down. I like people lining up as like a battle of the wills, man. This better be God. You better knock us all down. But you know in the Bible? Bring it. Bring it. You know in the Bible, when people were in Jesus' presence, they never fell backwards. They always fell down, prostrate before the Lord. It's not about falling down or not. It is about the Holy Spirit coming and visiting us in a very special and real way. Sometimes God moves by his Spirit in a public gathering, but it's not limited to that. But let me just say this. Do you see how those 120 people were baptized in the Holy Spirit? It splashed over to other people. They heard them speaking in other tongues. And I just want, if you come to these special services, even if you're not sure what's going on, if you'll just position yourself, sometimes if you're just in the presence of God and God's touching other people's life, sometimes you'll just feel it bounce on you a little bit. As a matter of fact, he who walks around the pool of Pentecost, you're wondering, is this real? I'm wondering. He who walks around the pool of Pentecost will eventually fall in. All I'm saying is this. God sometimes fills people with the Holy Spirit in a church setting. Not always. Sometimes he does it in your home. It was Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, verse 44. Now notice this. This is during a small group session. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. Could you imagine that? For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. You say, John, you know what? I don't like big gatherings. I feel like maybe for me it's not. But if the Lord wants to touch me, can he touch me in my home? I wanted to tell you, he could touch you in your home. The Holy Spirit, he moves in our lives in big gatherings, maybe in small gatherings. Then finally, it could just be on the road. Notice what it says in Acts chapter 19 in Ephesus. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There they found some disciples and asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They answered, no, we have not even heard that there's a Holy Spirit. So Paul asked, then what baptism did you receive? John's baptism, they replied. Paul said, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They became Christians. Then when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. I mean, they got saved. They asked Jesus to come into their heart, and the next minute they were baptized in the Holy Spirit and spoke in other tongues. So God could touch you along the road. He said, John, what's that big deal about laying on of hands? Why do you see people laying on of hands? You know, I don't know. I have no clue. But it does seem like at times a point of contact, God's raising up people to do something, serving, or God wants to touch their life. Oftentimes, other believers, sometimes pastors, will come alongside and just put their hands on people's shoulders in agreement to what God can do. So if you are asking God to fill you with the Holy Spirit, you could say, hey, pastor, would you pray with me? And I would just maybe come. No, I'm just joking. I stole that from Greg Hubbard. Maybe I just put my hand on your shoulder and say, God, would you touch my friend? Would you just grace my friend? Because sometimes God can allow people to help you, to lead you in the Holy Spirit. He will bless you and help you. I just want to remind you, it's not something you need to work for. It's a gift. Receive the Holy Spirit. Then finally, release. By faith, stop praying in your own native language and begin speaking in tongues. You may have only a few words, but go ahead and speak those in faith and follow. Say, John, how does it feel? I don't know how it would feel for you. Some people are very emotional. Some people are very reserved. This is a Catholic area. To lift your mouth and talk in church, you get a slap on your hand. The nun will come and knock your fingers with the ruler. You do not talk. But there is a sense in a spirit-filled, charismatic church that if you'll begin to worship and to praise the Lord as you hear God giving you those words, if you'll release your mouth, release your spirit, and begin to speak in those that language that God gives you, He is filling you with the power and the presence of Almighty God. You say, John, is that me or is that God? Yes! It's you and it's God participating. Sometimes you feel, I don't know how it works for you, but sometimes you feel like something's bubbling inside of you. You say, what is that? Probably the Holy Spirit, and God wants to fill you. And as He gives you those words, just speak it out. And the Bible says, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. And this generally, let me just coach you through this. This generally is how you receive the Holy Spirit. When you are worshiping and praising God, there's an openness and a liberty. That's why I always tell people, come on, let God hear your voice. Don't let the cat get your tongue. My kid says, what is that? I said, let the Lord just lift your praise to God. And in the moment of worship and praise, oftentimes it comes at that time. Think about it. Whenever we have tongues interpretation in church, usually that's right after the time of praise and worship to God, right? It very rarely happens during the offering. People are sensitive to God. They're thinking about God. Right? I mean, doesn't that happen when we're worshiping, praising God? It's kind of out of the overflow. And by the way, this is not weird. This is deeply biblical. Why would Jesus say, don't go and reach the world for Christ until you've been empowered by the Holy Spirit? You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Say, John, this is just your slant on Christianity. No. No, never. The Assemblies of God started 100 years ago with 300 people that wanted the fullness of the Holy Spirit. They started with this desire to be the world's largest, the greatest evangelism the world has ever seen. And Hot Spring, Arkansas, 300 people, or excuse me, they moved over from Hot Springs to Azusa Street. They called on the name of the Lord, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And today we have 70 million people worldwide, the greatest Spirit-filled. You're sitting here because somebody 100 years ago received the Holy Spirit and cared too much about you to die and go to hell, saying, Lord Jesus, I want to be full of all that you have. I'm so sick of my flesh. I'm so sick of religion. I want the Holy Spirit. And God begins to fill you. He says, what does it sound like? What's the feeling? I'm not sure. All I know is it's the greatest expression in the world. Some of you are dabbling with drugs and prescription drugs, and it brings you. I'm telling you, it is the movement of the Holy Spirit in our lives that is so valuable for life and for ministry, for the kingdom of God. Say, John, would you just tell me a little bit more about these tongues? Can I just dive one more step? Will you go with me a little bit? Listen, I don't want you to speak in tongues. I don't like, oh. My wife and I, like last night, we're eating chicken. Oh, I can't wait for everyone to speak. That's not what we think about. But it does appear in Scripture. I just gave you three. That every time they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, they did speak in tongues. You say, why is that? It's the evidence for you, so you know. So you know. It's not for you to walk around and say, I'm speaking in tongues. The goal is not for you to have the Holy Spirit. The goal is for the Holy Spirit to have you. Does that make sense? Completely different. Say, God, would you take over me? I'm so full of the flesh and so full of the spirit. My mind goes in lots of different directions. I want to stay full of the presence of God so I can be efficient and effective for the kingdom of God. Come, Holy Spirit. You say, well, what is the tongues? 1 Corinthians 12, verse 2 and 4 says this. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by God. You say, well, when I pray in the Spirit, I don't understand what I'm saying. You don't, but God does. What happens? God goes around your cognitive thinking. And by the way, you don't have to check your head at the door. You can read the Scripture. It's God partnering with your spirit. And some people overthink this. Don't overthink this. because some of you are type A. You have to have it figured out. You got to understand the Trinity. How can God create the world in 6 literal days? Evolution. God, I believe God started it, but then he let it go. You're trying to figure out God? You're trying to figure out the Trinity? You're trying to figure out Jesus and the mysteries of Christ? You'll never be able to do it. You'll go nuts. Your hands will be on the steering wheel. I don't get it. You know, I'm not even sure you're supposed to get it. When you speak in tongues, you speak not to men but to God. There is a direct relationship with God. It's wonderful. It's good. Verse 4 says this. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. Listen, you're going to be built up. If you pray in the Holy Ghost, if you pray in the Spirit, if you pray in tongues, you will be built up. You will be encouraged. I meet people all the time. Their spirits are like down here. Listen, God has something supernatural, miraculous to build you up and to help you in the dark days of your soul, to encourage you and to bless you. You are not alone. You can't take Pastor John home. You say, oh, if I could just have that energy and that life and that shirt and go home, he could go home. Lady, you don't want me going home. Jesus said, it's good that I go away so my Holy Spirit can go with you. Today, in your car, there's going to be someone driving home, and you're down and discouraged. No one talked to you, and the Holy Spirit could come upon you, and God like fills the room with the atmosphere of God's presence. I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit works deep in our hearts and our lives, and you build yourself up, you encourage yourself. It is the missing ingredient in today's Christianity. Amen. Look what the Apostle Paul said in chapter 14, verse 14 through 15. He goes, if I pray in the tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with understanding. You're praying at a higher level. You're praying at a level of worship and praise that God understands, mankind does. You say, John, do I need to interpret my own tongue? No, this is just you, your own prayer closet, your own time with God, your own language that God gives you. You say, well, John, do I know what it is? Sometimes maybe you could, maybe you can, but most times it's a language that God gives you. The world is changing. There used to be 6,000 languages. I heard the next 10 years there's only going to be 3,000. Everyone wants to learn English. I can't figure it out. All I know is God will give it to you. And sometimes what you do, you just begin praying in the Spirit, then you kind of just flip over and you pray in English. Sometimes you just pray in the Spirit. Well, my mom used to pray in the Spirit. Oh, it was so beautiful. My mom was cold-blooded. She was cold. You know what my mom would do? Ladies, you know what she'd do? This drove my dad crazy. She'd be in the kitchen, right? And she'd turn the oven on real high. And then she would open up the oven, and she would just sit there. I wasn't sure what that was. I didn't think it was the Holy Spirit. And my dad, like, do you know how much gas prices cost in Bergen County? She loved to have heat on her. Well, I remember I would hear my mom singing in the Holy Ghost. I use that. You understand that, right? I pastor in an all-black church, and sometimes people use the word Holy Ghost. When I use that, I'm not saying God's a ghost, but people use that. People will pray in the Holy Spirit. Oh, I could see relief. My mom carried the ministry with my dad. My dad started 12 churches. If it wasn't for my mom, anybody who does, you need help raising kids, financial struggles. We weren't perfect kids. And I just remember she would pray in the Holy Spirit. She was feeble, just praying in the Holy Spirit. The Bible says you pray, you sing. It's just part of your life. I want to tell you, it's the most joyful life in the whole world. You say, I'm just a Christian. Can I just be a Christian? Yes, but you also can experience God on a higher level in the presence of Almighty God. And sometimes, when you're going through life, the book of Romans says this about helping you to pray. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the minds of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Listen, if you're a know-it-all, you're in trouble. But if you walk by faith, there are going to be moments, there are going to be roadblocks. You say, God, I don't know what to do. I'm in trouble, God. I need you. This is supernatural. There's things that are floating in the air. I don't see them. And you just begin to pray in the Holy Spirit. You go through down times of your life, death or disease or problems, or maybe your body's failing you. Say, God, I just need you. And you just begin to pray in the Holy Spirit beyond your own understanding, and God helps you supernaturally. Listen, the Lord will not hurt you. Some of you are concerned, like, man, God's going to knock me out. He's going to embarrass me. No, 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 no. Jesus is our Savior, but he's also our baptizer. He doesn't want to embarrass anybody. He wants to give you this wonderful gift. He's not going to hurt you. You have to trust Jesus, who is our Savior, but he's also our baptizer, and he's a good God. He's wonderful. And let me just kind of almost wrap it up with this. Ephesians 5, verse 18. The Bible says this: do not be drunk on wine that leads to debauchery. That means wild living. But be filled with the Holy Spirit. The background is this, that you keep being filled. Filled to overflowing, to overflowing. Some people in this room, you've experienced this. If you come back on Wednesday, this is my testimony. God touched me when I was like 10 or 11. It was glorious. I spoke in tongues. But just through circumstances of life, I didn't have like a youth group, and I don't blame anybody, but I didn't hear constantly the desire or that we should stay full of the Spirit. And it kind of just became dormant. I was grateful for that experience, but it wasn't applied in my life, like on a daily basis or even a monthly basis. So I had the experience, but the Bible gives this idea that we need to stay filled with the Holy Spirit. And I just want to tell you, there's new waves of Spirit living in, for you. For example, you're a teenager and you're graduating from high school. God touched you at a camp with the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. But now you're going to college, and there's a new opportunities and new challenges. You say, God, I need for this new challenge in my life, I need to be filled fresh and new. I want to be filled again. Or maybe God's calling you to a new ministry in the church. Teach a small group or do something. Oh, Lord, I've not done this before. I need your help. I need your guidance. And God fills you, refills you. Or you're in a new season of your life. Say, God, fall fresh on me. I want to tell everyone in this room, every believer, you've been touched by God. You know the truth. He wants to give you new waves of God's grace and mercy. Oh, isn't that wonderful? We don't have to go back and try to muster up what happened in San Antonio when I was 10 years old. I say, oh, God, would you touch me right here in Marlton, New Jersey? Would you touch me and my children? Would you touch these young people? Would you touch the most oldest people in this room? There's people in this room, your bodies are failing. You're down. You're discouraged. You say, oh, God, would you move upon my children are going nuts. The world has got to their hearts and lives. God, would you fill me with the Holy Spirit? I need your grace. I need your touch. I'm exhausted. I don't want to keep doing religion. I want a fresh dose of the Holy Spirit. I want to tell you, he wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. But it all starts with this salvation experience. That's the first gift. And then the baptism. Now, here's what I'm concerned about. Tim Inlow's going to come, and some of you are thinking, he's going to bring the Holy Spirit. So, like, you're thinking, he's got a big suitcase. Here's the Holy Spirit. Hey, I got some gifts for you here, Pastor Liz. Here's miracles. Here's healing. That's not how it works. Hopefully when Tim comes, the Holy Spirit's already here. Lord, we've already prayed up. We're like John the Baptist. We just made the rough roads smooth. We just kicked out the barriers. We just made time. We just set the lights. We put the cool graphic up there. What is that? Like a tree. We built that. We're just ready. We're just ready for what God wants to do. Please don't put too much pressure on Tim. What would happen if Tim couldn't make it or he gets sick? Let me just throw your theology for a little while. Tim is used in major miracles. You're going to hear him. He's put his hands on people who are blind, boom. People who are deaf, boom. But his own wife struggles with scoliosis. She's been in a wheelchair. So you say, well, why didn't God heal her? Why the stranger? As a matter of fact, there was one time a knucklehead came into the church, totally rebellious towards God. He came up to the altar, and Tim just was praying for people, and he asked, I think it was his knee. His knee was all busted up. He goes, Tim prayed for him. He goes, what can I pray for? He goes, I have a bad knee. Pray for his knee. His knee instantly got healed. And he walked out of the church. Later he caught up to him and was like, where'd you go? He goes, I got what I needed and walked right out of the church. Why does that happen? I don't know. He's God. I don't know. Why does somebody who is spirit-filled, why do they wrestle with different things in their life? I don't know. Why does my mom have Parkinson's? My parents married 50 years. My dad's pastored and planted churches, gave himself for poor people, gave all of his money away, retirement. Why is my mom suffering? I don't know. You know what really stinks? People start coming up and say, oh, your mom probably has sin in her life. Let me think about it. Greg Hubbard and Robin Hubbard have been used around the world for God. Can't have children. Some, I guess, maybe well-intended person walk down the parking lot and say, God's going to allow you guys to have a baby. can't have children. I'm sure they meant well. I don't know how God does it, but I can tell you God wants to fill everybody with his Holy Spirit. I don't know. It's a gift. You say, John, why tongues? I don't know. Maybe because the tongue is the hardest thing to control? Man, your tongue gets you in trouble, doesn't it? It's a whole evil set on fire. Maybe God just like one step smarter than you. He says, you know what, listen. I'm doing that for your benefit, so you know you're under the control of the Holy Spirit. It's going to bless you. It's going to help you. And if you have pride or maybe doctrinal differences, you sit right here and say, you know what? It's not for me. Well, guess what? It's not for you. But you say, Lord, I want all that you have for me. Young people, in your generation, you're not going to be able to do this in your own ability. You're going to have to do this with the power of the Holy Spirit. You have to listen to the Holy Spirit because there's a cool way right now. If you just get the right lights and you have the skinny jeans, and by the way, I would wear skinny jeans. I just can't fit into skinny jeans. And you do church like this. If you do it like this, for whatever reason, the Holy Spirit will not allow me to do church like this. I can't pull it off. I don't have the show. I can't do it. But I do feel like the Holy Spirit says, John, if you'll keep seeking me, I will pour out my Holy Spirit. And our young people will see the dynamic of the Holy Spirit. It will rest inside of our hearts. The grace of God will flood over and through us. Listen, I'm not trying to present to God. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit is designed to change us and the world around us. America is some serious trouble. God, would you come and pour out your Holy Spirit? I'm telling you, he will.